Live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a sorry receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We're talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? Yes, it is about that time. Happy Tuesday to you all. It is January 14th, 2020. And it is now the day after the college football playoff national championship game in which the LSU Tigers were crowned champions of the college football world. How about that performance last night by LSU putting a bow on what many people are arguing is the greatest season in college football history? Joe Burrow was brilliant after that rough start. Due to field position, if you ask me. But the dude was amazing. He has been amazing all season. I got a lot of thoughts on that game last night. And you'll get my thoughts on whether or not I believe LSU here in the 2020 year has a strong, strong case to be considered the greatest college football team of all time. And you know what? One of the people that was on my mind last night when watching that incredible performance by the LSU Tigers over Clemson was former current sports engineer Isaac Constance, who is the biggest LSU sports fan I've ever met, probably the only LSU sports fan I've ever met. It's not every day here in Michigan you meet somebody from New Orleans, right? And that is exactly where Isaac Constance is from. And, of course, he bleeds green. He got his degree from Michigan State University, but he grew up an LSU Tigers fan. His entire family, they love the Tigers. And, you know, Isaac, I was watching his Twitter feed last night, and he was very excited, still is. So I reached out to him, and he said, of course, Al, I would love to be a part of today's current sports. I'm just curious to see what his reaction, along with his family's, and New Orleans, I mean, going crazy last night. I mean, they are still probably partying as I speak here on this Tuesday afternoon. What a game it was. I'm sure many of you here in Michigan didn't stay up for the entirety of it because that game ran past midnight. You know, I still don't understand why that was like an 8:30 p.m. kickoff time. I mean, especially on a Monday night. People got to work on Tuesday. So we'll talk a lot of Tigers versus Tigers on today's current sports. Also, Tom Izzo has wrapped up his weekly press conference. You'll get a chance to hear a bit of what Tom Izzo had to say as he puts a bow on what was that trouncing at the hands of Purdue on the road Sunday afternoon. What in the world happened to the top team in the Big Ten Conference? We'll dissect that, and you'll hear from Tom Izzo, so you don't want to miss that. And how about this whole Houston Astros cheating investigation? How wild is that story, right? Garbage cans. Garbage cans. Hey, pretty creative if you ask me. But that's cheating. You can't do that. And I'll weigh in on what should happen now with the Astros as they have already parted ways with a couple of people. All right, so a loaded show. What were your thoughts on last night's natty? Did you stay up for it?
Go Tigers!
Oh, Jack Kerwin right on cue. I love Coach O's voice. I mean, this dude, I got a lot to say about Coach O as well. I mean, how can you not love Coach O? I mean, the accent, You know, and many people doubted him when the whole firing of Les Miles, when that whole situation came down. And this dude just uses it as fuel. And now Ed Orgeron is a national champion. Go Tigers! I love that. I love that Louisiana accent, man. Shout out to him.
And how about... Go Tigers!
Yeah, we're going to hear that a lot, I feel like, throughout these next 60 minutes here on Current Sports. And I also, I loved the celebrations from last night. Joe Burrow was getting his godfather on with the cigar smoking. Many players did in that LSU locker room. Odell Beckham Jr. was there. He was turning up and doing the whoa all night. And he was also handing out moolah, which I'll get to in just a moment. I'll get to it in just a moment because that was a clear violation, NCAA violation. So, we'll talk about that as well. Okay, so 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Go to facebook.com/WKAR News. Also, tweet us. Tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR News. You know what's next. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners. Of course, we start here. LSU beat Clemson last night in the college football playoff national championship game. That was a 42-25 final. Joe Burrow, the Heisman Trophy winner that he is, he was amazing. Absolutely amazing. He was 31-49 for 463 yards. He threw for 5 touchdowns. And he accounted for over 500 yards total in that game last night. I mean, when you look at the statistics that Joe Burrow has put up this season, I mean, it's mind-boggling. I'll dive into a few of them in just a moment. But shout out to the LSU Tigers and Joe Burrow. That was one amazing, amazing performance and one amazing season. All right, in the 2019 college football season coming to a close last night with that fourth annual national championship game in the college football playoff, capping off that undefeated season for the Tigers. Quarterback Joe Burrow, he continued to be the story as the potential top pick in the 2020 NFL draft. Again, he threw those 5 touchdown passes, rushed for another with a record-setting performance in the victory. And after the game, there were many people in his house for that game last night, including... How about President Donald Trump and First Lady Melania Trump, who got a standing ovation in that game last night? Also, players, former players for the Tigers and the Tigers of LSU and the Tigers of Clemson were in the house. Cleveland Browns wide receiver and former LSU standout OBJ, Odell Beckham Jr., was seen on the field celebrating with his alma mater. In fact, a video surfaced of Beckham, reappearing to hand out cash to Tigers wide receivers Justin Jefferson and John Trey Kirkland. Now, while many thought that the cash was real, including myself, an LSU athletic official told the Advocates, Brooks Kubena, that the bills were fake. So... this certainly doesn't come as a surprise, as Beckham appeared to just be having fun with the LSU players. After all, it is against NCAA rules. It's a no-no for athletes to accept money of any kind prior to turning pro. Beckham did send every LSU player a set of headphones, though, before the national championship game, which is allowed. So, yeah, you can send headphones, but you can't hand out $100 bills after winning the national championship game. So there you have that. All right, Michigan football has received its second commit
from the 2022 class yesterday. Safety Miles Rouser, who is the brother of Michigan 2020 signee Andre Selden. He announced his commitment via Twitter. The 5'11", 175-pounder. He transferred from Belleville to Detroit Martin Luther King last month. He is not yet ranked by the 247 Sports composite, but he has generated significant interest nationally. He has more than a dozen offers, including Penn State, Florida, Florida State, Minnesota, and Nebraska. So there you have that. But right now, Miles Rouser, he looks to be wearing the maize and blue when he does graduate. All right, and this was a cool moment at halftime of the college football playoff national championship game. Barry Sanders was honored during the half for making the top 10 of ESPN's 150 greatest players in college football history list. The former legendary Detroit Lions running back came in at the number 9 spot on the running back heavy top 10. This recognition for Sanders' career at Oklahoma State comes a couple of months removed from USA Today crowning him as the greatest college football player of all time. ESPN reports a blue ribbon panel of 150 former coaches and players, in addition to members of the media and college administrators, put the rankings together. So Syracuse and Cleveland Browns great Jim Brown, the great Jim Brown, sits atop the list, featuring a whopping 19 running backs in the top 25 alone. Georgia's Herschel Walker comes in at number 2, while Auburn legend Bo Jackson rounds out the top 3. That was a really cool moment. And how about Jim Brown, man? He's still looking good. Still looking good up there. Again, Brown named as the number 1 player in college football history when it comes to that poll. And also, you know, on another note, I want to give a shout out to Regina King. You guys know I'm a huge, huge movie buff. And Regina King, the great Regina King, is directing her first ever film that chronicles Muhammad Ali, Jim Brown, Malcolm X, and Sam Cooke. Yeah, how about that, right? And those four meeting together in a hotel room in Miami after Muhammad Ali, known as Cassius Clay at the time, defeated, I forget the boxer that he defeated that night, but all four of those legends met together in a hotel room in Miami to talk about how to advance African-Americans in our, certainly, how should I describe our nation during that time? Tense times during the 60s. It's a fantastic film. I know that Lamar Odom, Jr., well, excuse me, Lamar Odom, that's the basketball player. I'm in sports mode, Jack. Leslie Odom Jr., who was in the Hamilton big production by Lin-Manuel Miranda back in the day. He's playing, oh man, who is Leslie Odom Jr. playing? I forget who he's playing. I believe he is playing Sam Cooke. Yes, he is playing Sam Cooke because he will be performing one of Sam Cooke's famous songs. A change is going to come in that movie. So, but I just thought that's going to be really a really interesting film that I wanted to pass along to you guys. So be on the lookout for that. Awesome stuff. And shout out to Regina King, a pioneer in film. All right, last night, nobody was watching this game, including me. I mean, why do I waste my time anymore watching this team? But they are my favorite team in the NBA. I know how you Lions fans feel a little bit, I guess. But the Detroit Pistons fell to the New Orleans Pelicans last night in overtime, 117-110. A lot of controversy surrounded around the Pistons in this game because head coach Dwayne Casey decided to bench forward/center Andre Drummond throughout the entire fourth quarter and in overtime. Andre only played something like 21, 22 minutes last night, and he just didn't play well. That's why Dwayne Casey benched him, and Andre was so frustrated that a camera actually caught him inside of Little Caesars Arena shooting around for about an hour and some change after that loss. I don't think that Dre is going to be a Piston for much longer. You know, the whole rumor mill about him going to the Atlanta Hawks, that may come to fruition very, very soon, but we'll see. So, yeah, I'm with you, Jack. I'm totally with you, brother, because, man, Dre has been a headache. And so much untapped potential there. He reminds me a lot of Dwight Howard. A lot of Dwight Howard. Just a lot of untapped potential. So, there you have that. This is a really cool story. The WNBA and the Players Union have come to tentative terms on a new collective bargaining agreement that includes a significant salary bump for the league's highest paid players, going from an annual base salary of a little over $117,000 a year to $215,000. The new CBA also includes other cash compensation increases, changes to free agency, travel improvements, additional motherhood and family planning benefits, enhanced marketing and career development opportunities, and changes to revenue sharing potential. This is what WNBA commish Kathy Engelbert said. Quote, "We believe it's a groundbreaking and historic deal. I'm proud of the players. They bargained hard. They unified. They brought attention to so many important topics," end quote. So that is awesome news for the WNBA and its players. The Detroit Red Wings will be in action tonight at New York against the Islanders. 7 p.m. puck drop there. The Wings are 12-31-3. And this is a huge, huge story. I actually even saw NBC's Nightly News covering this story. That's how big the story was yesterday, as the Houston Astros general manager Jeff Luhnow and manager A.J. Hinch, they were fired by owner Jim Crane yesterday after Major League Baseball's announcement of discipline following the sign-stealing scandal. A league investigation confirmed the Astros had cheated by using a camera-based sign-stealing system during the regular season and playoffs of their World Series winning 2017 year and during part of the 2018 regular season. Now, both the manager and general manager were suspended for the 2020 season, but Crane said the team wanted to go beyond that ruling. Crane said, quote, "Neither one of them started this, but neither one of them did anything about it." He added, "We need to move forward with a clean slate." And lastly, retired NFL wide receiver Chad Johnson has a tryout scheduled for next Monday with the XFL as a kicker. A source confirmed that, as of now, the tryout is real. This is what Chad Ocho Cinco Johnson tweeted today, actually this morning, around like 10 a.m., quote, "The opportunity to kick in the XFL has presented itself. I must try out Monday in Houston. I'm excited as heck, and I'm sure all will go well." Johnson last played in an NFL game in February of 2012, catching one pass for the New England Patriots during a Super Bowl loss. He was named to 6 Pro Bowls as a receiver, but often expressed sincere interest in kicking. In fact, he converted an extra point and kicked off for the Cincinnati Bengals during the 09 preseason. Chad Ocho Cinco is 42. All right, that does it for your current sports quick hit headliners. Again, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. That is the number to call. You can also weigh in courtesy of social media. Watch the live stream right now at facebook.com/WKAR News. Comment below that live stream, and you can tweet us. Tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR News.
tagging.
That never gets old. That never gets old. Shout out to Coach O and the LSU Tigers last night in New Orleans, winning the college football playoff national championship. What a season, man. You know, I don't know what more I can say that hasn't already been said or written about this team, about Coach O, and, of course, about Joe Burrow, who had what many people are saying was the greatest season for a quarterback in college football history. It was quite amazing. It was a 42-25 final. I stayed up for all of it just because I'm a night owl. I don't go to bed until about like 3 or 4 a.m. It's ridiculous. But 42-25 was your final. I watched the celebration and watched all of the post-game interviews on SportsCenter with Scott Van Pelt. And, you know, Joe Burrow, he just put on another spectacular performance. It was a bit rocky to start. A lot of that had to do with the field position that the LSU offense had to deal with. In the very beginning, I mean, they had no room to work. I mean, they were pinned, you know, 10 yards in those first few drives. And, you know, Coach Dabo Swinney and Clemson, they capitalized on that for sure. But as that game went along and as LSU and that offense got space, Joe Burrow began to put on a clinic. He was 31 of 49 for 463 yards, 5 TDs, adding 58 rushing yards. So he had a night on college football's grandest stage in which he put up over 500 total yards. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. 58 rushing yards and another score. Ja'Marr Chase had 9 catches for a college football playoff championship game record, 221 yards and 2 touchdowns. Correct me if I'm wrong, Jack. Ja'Marr Chase is the Biletnikoff winner, right? He is the top wide receiver in all of college football, right? Ja'Marr Chase is amazing. Watching him do what he did, I mean, they have such synergy. Burrow and Chase, they have such synergy when they're out there playing. And how about the one throw? You know, because I really wanted to see how Burrow was going to handle this kind of stage. And, you know, when he struggled at first, again, a lot of that due to field position. As the game went along, I started to kind of just dissect this game as to what makes this young man so special. And I don't know how you can argue otherwise that he is not your number one overall draft pick come the NFL draft this year. I mean, he's so polished at this age. Footwork, amazing. The ability to throw receivers open. I mean, Kirk Herbstreit mentioned this on the broadcast last night. It was right after that touchdown throw to Ja'Marr Chase, where Ja'Marr Chase, he hugged the right sideline. The defender was right on his heels, but Burrow threw Chase open, and Herbstreit mentioned how when he sat down with Joe Burrow, and they had a really cool pregame segment where actually Kurt Herbstreit, he sat down with both Trevor Lawrence and Joe Burrow. But when sitting down with Joe Burrow, Burrow mentioned that, look, I can see if a cornerback has my receiver hemmed up and is right there stride for stride with that receiver, but I know that if that corner doesn't have an eye on me, I can throw that receiver open even if he may not be open during the initial launch point. And that's exactly what I saw on that one play, that one pass to Ja'Marr Chase. Amazing. His ability to feel the pocket. And give Clemson some credit because they did frustrate LSU at the beginning. It was really tough to figure out that, like, 3-1-7 defense that they were running. You know, at some points they had 3 down linemen. At some points they had 2 down linemen. They were sending blitzes from everywhere. And look, Joe Burrow admitted after the game that he was still trying to figure out where the blitzes were coming from. But he did a great job. As that game went along, that's a different kind of defense. But as that game went along, Joe Burrow got more and more comfortable. He felt the pocket, and he picked and chose his points of attack with his feet. And that's what also makes him very dangerous as well. Not only does he have a rocket for an arm that is very accurate, but he can put the ball on the ground and pick up yardage with his feet. And then he goes through his progressions. It's amazing how he scans the field. And he knows where everybody is. You know, the kid is very impressive, and nobody saw this coming from him, right? You know, when he transferred to LSU, nobody saw this kind of a season coming for him. You know, one of the stats that really blew my mind is that, you know, he set the record with 60 touchdown passes on the year as LSU went on to go undefeated at a perfect 15-0. When you do the math, Jack, this brother averaged a touchdown a quarter for the year of LSU.
Yes, he did. I'm glad you didn't bring up a different stat, which is...
What's that?
You don't know this one?
No.
That Michigan State's offense has had 54 touchdowns the past two seasons, and Joe Burrow had 60 passing touchdowns this year.
I tried. I tried to spare our Spartan listeners out there, and I tried so hard.
Did you see that stat last night?
I did not see that stat. How sad is that? It's not even... This ain't about MSU football. We all know about the problems of last season. Oh, boy. Leave it to Jack, right? Leave it to Jack just to throw that one out there. But isn't that sad, though? My gosh. That did just change my mood now.
You know what, though? It's like, I mean, for me at least, because of Coach O, and because I really do like Joe Burrow, because I think Joe Burrow's hilarious, like in interviews and stuff. He's wildly entertaining. But, you know, LSU has kind of become my second adopted team just because of the personality that is Coach O and how fun that offense is to watch with Joe Brady. So just look at it like that way, you know, Spartan fans, just adopt LSU as your second team. You know, it's also another state school. This one happens to be down south, and then you can be a lot happier today.
There you go. Yeah, I mean, why not? I mean, LSU is it's a great school, you know. Former current sports engineer Isaac Constance is from there, and he's a big LSU fan. I mean, how can you not root for that team last night? You know, I found myself rooting for Coach O last night specifically. I mean, this dude got all the criticism in the world, you know. And actually, I remember when Les Miles was let go by LSU, I remember talking to Isaac, and he was so down and out. He bought a shirt advocating for Les Miles to be brought back to LSU. There were these T-shirts going around out in Louisiana, you know, vying for LSU to bring back Les Miles. So Coach O came in with a lot of criticism, with very low expectations, and now he is a national championship winning coach. But, you know, that first half outburst by LSU really made the difference because Clemson led 17-7 with 10:38 left to play in the first half. That's before Joe Burrow went on that crazy 21-0 run to close the half with big plays. Big plays in all phases. He scored on a 3-yard touchdown run, then hit Ja'Marr Chase with that 14-yard TD pass. Chase, again, had 6 catches for 162 yards in the first half alone. But the defining play on that 3rd and 10 from the 35-yard line, 21 seconds left in the second quarter, that was huge. Huge. And then on a 3rd and 10 after a timeout, Burrow took a quarterback draw up the middle for a 29-yard gain. Then he hit Thaddeus Moss, the son of famed wide-receiving football great Randy Moss, for a 6-yard touchdown on the next play. Burrow had 270 passing yards and 55 yards by halftime. And that run allowed LSU to take that 28-17 lead into the locker room. And then, you know, he showed toughness last night as well. When he was hitting the ribs, you know, he was asked after the game what his thought process was on returning, and Burrow said he had, quote, no choice but to come back and finish the deal. Absolutely amazing. When it comes to Trevor Lawrence, who I think is going to be a great pro at the next level, I mean, don't count out Trevor Lawrence. Trevor Lawrence, you know, he took his first loss as a starter, actually, and that 29-game win streak, which is amazing, that's now gone. But, you know, and Clemson brings a lot of firepower back next season. They may be your preseason favorite come, you know, next college football year. In Lawrence, he started hot. He was 7 of 11 for 130 yards, 18 rush yards in the first quarter. He did not have the same success, though, on third down that propelled Clemson to a win in the 2019 college football playoff championship game. He was just 2 of 11 for 20 yards on third down last night, including 6 overthrows. That ain't going to get the job done. Just not. You have to perform on third down in a game like that, and Trevor Lawrence was not great. So now we have this debate, Jack. Is LSU the greatest college football team of all time? There are many you can bring up. You can bring up the 1994 Nebraska team, the 1971 Nebraska team, the 01 Miami team. I could go on and on and on here. But when you look at this, I mean, it's hard to argue against this, Jack, that this LSU team is the most accomplished college football team of all time.
Yep, no doubt. Without a doubt. The teams that were in the AP top four to begin the season, they defeated
all
of them.
They beat them all.
Yeah, soundly. Yeah, no, absolutely.
Wasn't even close. I think an average of like 21 points, something like that.
Yeah, no, something like that. I mean, I don't know, all in all, because, I mean, it's especially so hard to compare teams from different eras. I will say this season by Joe Burrow is the best season by a college football quarterback we've ever seen.
Definitely.
And, yeah, I mean, this would be in my lifetime absolutely the best team I've ever seen. In college football. But, I mean, outside of that, you know, a lot of the teams you just referenced, you know, a Nebraska team from the 90s or from the 70s, I never saw them, so obviously I can't really compare them, you know, honestly to this LSU team. But, you know, from my standpoint, this is the best college football team I've ever seen.
It's hard to compare eras, definitely. But accomplishments, I mean, you can look at what LSU did, going undefeated, all of the records set, Joe Burrow's remarkable year behind center. Huh. And then as you mentioned, Jack, the Tigers winning 7 games against top 10 opponents. You know, they beat 4 of the 5 top 5 preseason AP top 25 teams. I mean, that's amazing. With a team that finished with 48.4 points per game. Unbelievable.
You know, the best thing about it, too, is going into this season, I don't think anyone expected LSU to win the SEC West.
Right.
You know, like,
oh yeah, for sure.
They won. I think they went 10-3 last season, and you know, obviously looking to build off of that. But I don't think anyone at the beginning of the year was picking them to unseat Alabama.
No, not at all. You know, Ed Orgeron, his team defeated 3 active coaches with national championships in Dabo, Alabama's Nick Saban, and Texas A&M's Jimbo Fisher.
Oh, I mean, yeah, Jimbo. Okay, I was wondering who the third was.
Yeah, Jimbo is the third. And so LSU, I think they belong in the conversation of without a doubt, this is the greatest SEC team of all time, I believe. And again, you know, it's debatable. We'll be debating this in barbershops until, you know, next college football year. Well, for years to come, I think it's going to be tough for any team to come close to what LSU did this season. For years and years and years, people are going to be debating just how good this year's LSU college football team is, possibly being the greatest team of all time. What say you? 517-355-WKAR. 517-355-9525. 9527, excuse me. I'm messing up the phone number, Jack. It's Tuesday, dude. Go to Facebook.com/WKAR News. Live stream is there. Many of you commenting below that live stream video. I'm going to get to a few of those comments in just a moment. Also, tweet us. Tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR. Tweet the show at WKAR News. When we come back, we will talk with the biggest LSU sports fan that I know. Speaking of Twitter, he was going insane on Twitter last night celebrating that LSU Tigers victory. Isaac Constant, former Current Sports engineer, will get his reaction to last night's unbelievable game and unbelievable season for the Tigers of LSU. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. In segment A, we just wrapped up a conversation and you heard the thoughts of engineer Jack Kerwin and myself centered on the season that was for the LSU Tigers. What a year for Ed Orgeron and the LSU Tigers to win a national championship, you know, in New Orleans at that. Quite amazing. Unbelievable stuff. And right now, what I want to do is welcome to the show a dear friend. He's like a little brother to me. He is a native of NOLA, former Current Sports engineer, now government and technology reporter for GovLoop out in D.C. Isaac Constance now joins us. Isaac, I'm pretty sure you're probably a bit tired from partying out there, maybe in D.C., maybe your own little party out in D.C. celebrating that win for the Tigers, I'm guessing.
Absolutely, yeah. About 4 hours of sleep. I saw a tweet last night, one of my many, as you referenced, that was actually Burrow holding up the four when LSU was heading into the fourth quarter, and somebody tweeted out, that's how many hours of sleep I'm getting at. Tonight, so yeah, that was pretty applicable.
That's so true. And you know what, Isaac, you probably heard a bit of what Jack and I were saying before we hit that first break, and many people are now debating, you know, whether or not this is the greatest college football team of all time. I argue that you can't argue against the fact that this is the most accomplished college football team of all time. Where do you fall in that discussion?
I mean, you know, I'm torn because every single point about you can't compare across eras and, you know, some teams have different competition each year. So you don't really know the strength of who they're playing. The thing is, this, to my memory, is the most dominant college football season I've ever seen. And I believe that we've ever seen. Mm-hmm. You talk about all the records, 60 touchdown passes from Burrow, 65 total touchdowns from him on the season. You know, as Jack referenced, more than some teams, I won't name names, over the course of multiple seasons. Like, this offense, the thing is, too, it was constructed overnight, or at least over an off season. LSU, of course, had Orgeron, and Orgeron, to his credit, Al, great memory, first of all, remembering that I wanted Miles to stay around, and I bought that shirt. That's absolutely true. I'll be the first to admit I wasn't sure about the Orgeron hiring because his record at Ole Miss, he never won more than five games in a season at Ole Miss in 3 years in charge. Mm-hmm. But he comes in, you know, pride is always the downfall for so many different football teams. He hires these great assistants, lets them do what they do well, does what he does well, and Joe Brady, the quarterback coach at LSU, coming from the New Orleans Saints, brought in this new pro-style offense that totally changed the future of LSU football and really won us the championship this year. A modern offense, an offense that does more than score 14 points. I mean, if I was telling this to an LSU fan a year ago, they would not have believed me.
Oh, nobody would have, Isaac. And yeah, and you know, bringing up that moment when Les Miles was let go. I mean, you and I mean, we had a long conversation about that. And you bought the T-shirt, and I just want you to put in perspective just what that moment was like when you all parted ways, when that area parted ways with Les Miles. I mean, what kind of conversations were you having with family members and friends in NOLA? And just kind of put in perspective what the adversity was like for Coach O to try and fill those big shoes?
Well, the tension was really, you know, thick in the air when we let Miles go. He was coming off a few rough seasons. Of course, he had won the championship with LSU in 2007. Also in New Orleans, fun fact, all of LSU's four championships have been in New Orleans. Just a crazy coincidence.
What?
A little bit of home field advantage. Yeah.
Are you serious? I didn't know that. Wow.
2007, I believe 1951, and then, of course, 2020. Yeah.
Wow.
But, you know, when Miles Rose raised that trophy in 2007, it's a great moment. And then the program fell on hard times. You know, heading into this year, the game that meant almost as much as the championship to us was Alabama. arch rival, hadn't beat them in 8 years, and LSU pulls that one out in an absolute shootout. Joe Burrow versus a healthy Tua Tagovailoa, just an incredible game. But when Miles was let go, it was just this moment of inflection for the program. Like, we've had a good coach. He won us a championship, but we can either go up or down. And Orgeron was not the flashy hiring that most fans wanted, including myself.
Yep.
But, you know, there is also something about being homegrown. There is not a coach that I have seen in any major sports league that has the passion that Ed Orgeron does for his team. Not just as a person, but as somebody who's Cajun, who's from the Bayou, South Lafourche Parish, to actually come up. This is his dream job. And when you hear his voice say, this is for the great state of Louisiana, when you hear him say, go Tigers, it's a lot of pride because, you know, Louisiana has its struggles. And
go Tigers!
No place he'd rather be. That's pretty cool.
That is so true, Isaac. And you know what? I don't know when this moment happened, but I was on social media last night, and it was during some kind of parade, pregame, I guess. And Coach O is so fired up. He's pumping fists. He's slapping high fives to people, you know, lined across, around the street, I should say. I mean, he was so pumped up. You would have thought he was playing in that national championship game and not coaching in it. It's amazing. His personality. I love Coach O's personality.
Oh, yeah. Well, I know exactly the video you're talking about. And there's been some great media coverage around this team. All sorts of great storylines, compelling storylines. One quote that was pretty funny to me was Coach Orgeron was asked, like, Coach, why do you get into the office so early? Like, when he was a strength coach,
right?
He would actually wake up and go to the room at 5 a.m. when practice wasn't until 6. And he said, son, the moment I can't kick a man's butt is the day I don't get up out of bed. And it's just, that's his mentality. He's an aggressive, passionate person, and you got to love him, got to respect him. He brings that same energy to the whole football team.
Oh, that's awesome stuff. And so that video is old. That's like a two-year-old video then, huh?
Yeah. Well, that one is separate from the instance, but I believe that was earlier this season. Yeah.
It was last season, if I'm not mistaken, the game where LSU hosted Alabama. Yeah, okay. In Death Valley from last year.
Wow.
Yeah, exactly. That's
amazing stuff. You got to love Coach O. Okay, before we got to move on, Isaac, but before we do, I just want you to tell me what that moment was like for you watching that, the conversations you've had with your family, and you know, from afar. I know you're out there working out in D.C., but who have you talked to back at home, and what was the celebration like back at home?
You know, moms, pops, my brother, and they just went – kind of all night by the sounds of it. I mean, somebody was saying, you know, this game's getting let out so late that they're not going to be able to make last call in New Orleans. And there's no such thing as last call in New Orleans. Come on, y'all know better than that. So, no, I mean, New Orleans, the party's still going on. Mardi Gras is going to be crazy. It was nice in D.C., you know, being away from home. It's always good having sports as that connection. But seeing the greatest show on turf, newly dubbed, seeing the best college football team that I've ever seen play, probably the best we've ever seen, the best individual quarterbacking season that we've ever seen. All of this experience for LSU fans throughout the country, especially in Louisiana, it was amazing. It was such a fun ride. And, yeah, looking forward to next year. But, gosh, this year will definitely linger for a while. It was special.
I think I read somewhere, weren't a lot of schools and businesses – you like closed for Tuesday? Is that right?
Yeah. So LSU was closed for Tuesday, and then, yeah, definitely a few around the region. They definitely let schools out for that, and they had the days on. You know, I mean, we care about education, but this is once-in-a-lifetime sort of stuff. So, yeah, you got to let the kids out.
Oh, that's awesome stuff. Well, Isaac, when you go back home to NOLA, you know, keep us posted on how the celebration goes, my brother. Ride this high. You guys deserve it. And always good talking to you, man.
Hey, you know it, Al. You too. Go Tigers.
Go Tigers. All right. Love it.
Go Tigers.
Right on cue, Jack. Oh, Isaac Kansas. Got to love him. That's awesome, awesome stuff. Let's hit our final break. When we come back, We'll talk some Michigan State men's basketball as Tom Izzo addressed the media today, putting a bow on that embarrassing loss on the road to Purdue on Sunday. We'll be right back. You are listening to the Tuesday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I do want to play a bit of what Tom Izzo had to say during his press conference at the Breslin Center as Michigan State tries to move on now from that road loss at the hands of Purdue. They will return back home this Friday, playing host to Wisconsin. Wisconsin this Friday night. And shout out to newly dubbed member of the Current Sports family. Shout out to Eric behind the glass. Eric will be joining us throughout this semester, along with many fantastic members of the Journalism 418 course, providing content for us here on the show. And I had Eric doing a little bit of digging for Michigan State men's basketball and where we are at with this team at this point in the year. Looking at the conference, you know, I mentioned this on Monday's Current Sports. Road teams are 5-31 in the Big Ten so far this season. It is so tough to win on the road, but nobody really expected a blowout loss for Michigan State on the road at Purdue. That's a tough environment to play in, though, at Mackey Arena. Michigan State is still leading the conference by a full game at 5-1. Illinois at second in the conference at 4-2. MSU, of course, has already beaten them head-to-head. MSU's 42 points on Sunday at Purdue, the fewest they've scored in just over 8 years. 2 3-pointers were a season low. This is just not a great shooting team from beyond the arc. 35% shooting was a season low. 18 turnovers were a season high. 10 points were a season low for Cassius Winston. And Xavier Tillman had been averaging 18.3 points per game, 11.2 rebounds in his last four. He only had 8 points and 8 boards on Sunday. So again, Michigan State versus Wisconsin, this Friday night at 7 p.m. on FS1 from the Breslin Center. Here is Tom Izzo addressing what he saw first on film, putting in perspective that loss at Purdue.
Well, the film didn't look any better than it did look in person. In fact, there are parts of it that looked worse. Trying to keep it all in perspective of where we are and you know, a loss is a loss. If it's a 1-point loss or a 25-point loss, or but I did not like the way we played. I felt like we just didn't do the things that you need to do to win on the road, and then you know, our youth is starting to show because we're having to get more out of more people. A week to practice is going to be good for us. We took yesterday off. Try to go at it real hard today, and of course tomorrow and Thursday. I think it's, when I say it's day to day, it's not day to day, but Kyle Arns will be out for a while. It's just been so hard to have him practice, not practice, have him in the lineup, not in the lineup. So really it was a decision made by me. I just think he's broken down. It's been really hard on him during the game. You know, we're trying to put him in, and you know, he wants to go, doesn't know if he can go, and it's just been this Achilles ankle thing. But you know, we've had doctors look at it, we've had everybody look at it, and I think part of it is he's been through so much in his career. So I'd like to give him a couple weeks and see if we can bring him back for the second half of the Big Ten. Like, there's no reason why, if, you know, it's day-to-day, because if something happened and he had to play next week, he could probably play some minutes. But I just think that for his mental health and goodwill and good feeling and mine, and, you know, he was worried about the other players because he only practices part-time. So it adds to the issues of more and more and more and more youth in there. So I thought our youth, you know, was a little bit of a problem the other day when we need some guys to step up and we just can't get a little consistency. But if I was to be really blunt and honest, since I told both guys, you know, it was probably the worst game Cassius and Xavier played. And they're my two best players, and I have every bit of confidence that they'll bounce back. I think some of the reasons we were able to iron out in some film sessions, and yet the turnovers, the play of those two guys then leads to other issues. And we all know Aaron's got to play better. As I said, he's been rebounding the ball better. He's been, his attitude's been great. He just has found a way to kind of disappear, and we need him to appear. As far as Wisconsin goes, I think they're playing as good as anybody in the league right now. The win they had at Penn State in such a strange way. Here's a guy, Micah Potter, was 1-for-5 in the 5 games he played. And he goes 4-for-6 from the 3, and he looked like an NBA player, to be honest. He was hitting threes. He was putting the ball on the floor. He was doing all different things, and all of a sudden, Revere's was hardly playing. The kid King is really improved from last year, which we knew. He played good against us in the Big Ten tournament. Dimitri Trice, we've all known about him forever. And Brad Davidson had, I think, 11 points and 13 rebounds in that game. So they create a problem because they post up just about everybody. And now, unlike last year when they had Hap in there, they couldn't post those guards because Hap couldn't step out. Now both Revere's and Potter can step out, and I mean long-range step out for Potter. So it just creates an opening. Their other starter, Ford, they've got 5 guys averaging more than 9 points a game. And so everybody gets a piece of the pie. Since Potter has come back or come into the lineup as a transfer, you know, they beat Tennessee. They're the only team in the league with 2 road wins and 2 pretty good places to win at. And a tough home loss by 1 after they had a big lead. So we've got our work cut out for us. As I said, I have all the faith in the world that Cash and Xavier will play better. And then it's getting our other guys going a little bit. Questions? Perfect. Love it.
Excuse me. I know experience is valuable, but it seems like now you've got more experienced guys over on the bench acting as coaches for you.
Yeah.
I know Kyle's the kind of guy that will do whatever it takes, but, for the other guys on the team, it's got to be tough seeing a guy like this who's done so much for the team still not be able to get out there.
Yeah, it kind of happened in a locker room, to be honest with you, after the game. He was just, you know, bummed out that he couldn't do more to help. And Cassius stood up and said, hey, we know what you've given this program, just about what you're saying. So it is hard. At the same time, Kyle feels like it's unfair to Henny and to Gabe and Rocket to maybe not get the reps in practice, or wondering when you're coming in the game. And so it does it, you know, you look at it, and we were laughing this morning because at the beginning of the year we put all our minutes on the board where we thought this guy would play, and we went down the list, you know. And, of course, Josh was 31 to 32 minutes a game. Cash was 32 to 33. Xavier was in the 30s, or, you know, maybe 30. and Kyle Ahrens was in the 20s. And so you're right, that's 55 minutes out of the lineup that we thought would be anchors as a senior and a fifth-year senior. And so we got to deal with it, you know. We just got to deal with it. And I don't know what to say except it sure isn't his fault, you know. He's been injured since he's been in high school, and yet they've been weird injuries, you know. Like, I mean, who breaks their leg anymore? You know, you just don't hear that very often. And he broke both of them, and then the ankle, the back. And I think some of it he plays so hard, but he worked out so hard this summer once he was, you know, able to go, and was looking forward to a big senior year. And he still could happen, because when he's in there, we're a smoother team. We're making some mistakes defensively as well as offensively. And part of it is, you know, it makes it smoother for him. And as Aaron said to me now, you know, everybody's had to step up a role. And sometimes you're ready for that, sometimes you're not. Everybody wants it until it's, you know, look where you are now. You know, it's kind of one of those things that, I mean, we're 5-1. We've played some of our best basketball. And looking back at the Illinois, I was on a long recruiting trip last night and had a chance to watch a lot of film, and looked at our Illinois game, looked at our Minnesota game. You know, we won those games, but we still aren't putting together two halves of basketball.
So, Tom Izzo there. And as we close out the show with just 20 seconds left, the big news there is that Kyle Ahrens will miss some time. He's going to miss multiple weeks, actually, according to Tom Izzo. So this marks the latest setback in what has been an injury-filled basketball career for Ahrens. I'll put in perspective what this injury means for Michigan State basketball moving forward. Until then, we'll see you Wednesday. And be easy, people.